One day, God gave me a passage, I believe, for this occasion. I wasn't particularly looking for it, but it just all came at once, and he said, I just sort of sat down and wrote out all the main points of what I was going to say. I don't get that very often. I wish I did. Sermons don't usually come that quickly, but God just showed me these verses and very directly what I felt I needed to say to you this morning. And I'm really grateful to Sarah, who's done a lovely board out in the loaves and fishes, and put the verse there for us as a reminder. And the verse that I particularly want to give you is Psalm 43 and verse 16, I think it is. It's verse 18 and 19. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. But I want to play a little video, and I'm going to read more of the passage over the video as it shows. Hopefully it'll come up in a sec. Here we are. But now, this is what the Lord says. He who created you, Jacob, He who formed you, Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name, and you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. This is what the Lord says. He who made a way through the sea, a path through the mighty waters. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. Let's pray. Oh Lord God, you are the God of all creation. Lord, we're going to be on to that next week. But Lord, you made this beautiful world for us to live in. You gave us life. We thank you, Lord, for all that we enjoy in our world. But Lord, we confess as a people we have spoilt your world. We have ruined your world in many ways. We've polluted your world. Lord, we've been the people that you want us to be to give you the glory and the honor to your name. Lord, in your sovereign purpose, you have allowed us a season of trouble, of difficulty, a season to remind us that you are God. When things that we have taken for granted have been stripped away, we've been brought back to what is fundamental, to what is important, our relationships with each other, and most of all, our relationship with you, Lord God. Lord, Will you do a new thing with us? Will you give us hearts that are completely and truly committed to you? May we see this new life in the desert of our lives springing up. May it be more beautiful than anything that we have experienced before. Oh Lord, do that new thing, we pray. Amen. In Psalm 137, we read how once the Jews were scattered from their homeland. Their temple laid in ruins. They were taken far away from their homeland. And we read, by the rivers of Babylon we sat down and wept when we remembered Zion. They grieved because they couldn't be together. They grieved because they couldn't worship together. They longed to return home. 70 years for them. Thankfully, we haven't had to wait that long. But 60 months has been incredibly cruel and difficult for many of us, I know. Now, God did that for a reason. God sent them into exile because they hadn't really been listening to him. They'd been living their own lives without fearing him and loving him as they ought to have done. But he had not given up on them. And he had not given up on his love for them. And he has not given up on us. And I do believe he wants to do a new thing with us. A few things from this passage in Isaiah 43, having shut my Bible, which isn't the best idea. It says here in this passage, this is what the Lord says, he who made a way through the sea, a path through the mighty waters. What are we talking about there? What was the path through the sea? Well, of course, it's the children of Israel when they came out of Egypt, isn't it? And they stood on the banks of the Red Sea, and God was going to take them to a new land, and they might have been able to see it in the far distance. I don't know. But how are we going to get there? So the sea is in front of them. And then the Egyptians, who had made them slaves for so many years, thought, what are we doing letting these people go? And so they sent their army after them. So as they looked out, the sea was in front of them. And the armies closing in behind them. What happened? God made a way, didn't he? And God continues to make a way. God parted the water in front of them. He pushed it back. He opened a path for Israel to safely cross. And I believe that God is making a way for us going forward. With infection still high, we may be tempted to say, how? How are we going to go forward? And actually, we may even be reluctant to leave the shore. Even when the way is opening up, it's still kind of like, really? Are we going to step out? Are we confident the waters aren't going to come flooding in back over us? But I do think that we have to, and I so encourage you're here today, because we need to take a step of faith to move forward. And the passage continues, forget the former things, don't dwell on the past. And that's easy to do, isn't it? To remember church and life how it used to be. But God says, no, this is a different chapter. I still got the same end goal in sight, that people from all over the world will come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. But I'm doing a new thing. Do you see it? A new shoot springs up, doesn't it? New life, new hope. He's opening a way in the wilderness, a stream in the wasteland. So what has God been saying to us through this 18 months? I've got five things very quickly, beginning with R. The first R, I think, was rest. Rest. Maybe not for the nurses. Thank you for all you've done. But for many of us, we had an enforced break, didn't we, from all our strivings, certainly from all our church meetings, from lives that were dictated by the clock. It was wonderful last summer not to just be forever seeing what hour of the day and what day in the diary to be, to have that beautiful summer. And in one sense, to rest, to stop. And God sometimes allows us that, to break from that relentless activity. And it's actually, when you're so busy doing things, it's sometimes easy to forget what's important in terms of your relationships with other people and with God. But the second thing I think he is saying is reset. Reset. If you have a mobile phone, when you first get it, it's all set up with the factory settings, isn't it? And you customize that phone according to your own agenda. You put on the different apps on your phone and until it's absolutely full up, isn't it, with all those things that occupy your time and your energies, from social media to gaming or whatever we're into. But it's like God is saying that this is time for us to reset. To reset to the master reset, if you like. Not just for your phone, but for your whole life. It's an opportunity to reassess your values, to discern what is important. Are we just going to go back to the way that we lived before? Or will you strip it back and make the things of God more of a priority? We haven't had the normal things, things that people built their lives upon, their jobs, their health, their wealth, their leisure, their holidays. It's all come crashing down, hasn't it? If it's taught us anything, it's that the one constant in our life is God. And out of this comes a third R, and that is repentance. It means to say sorry to God for all the things that we made a priority ahead of him through the years, for the things that we've strived after, for our own selfish motives. And there's another R that comes closely related to repentance, and that is revival. Surely that's what we want for our church, isn't it? A revival, to see every seat in this place filled going forward. And I believe God can do that. But if you look at the history of revival, it almost, in every circumstance, begins with repentance. When people get back to being serious with God. We started with that passage this morning about the vine and the gardener. We've got a vine that grows up over a trellis at the back of our house. And last year, it was getting a bit thick, and I cut it right back. And I'll be honest, I wondered if it was ever going to shoot again. Well, if you want to see it now. The weather we've had, the rain and the sun, and it's never been like this before. It's just completely taken over. And maybe that's what God is doing with us. He's pruned us back. He's cut off all the dead wood. And he's saying, you know, if you just remain in me, we can see growth like you've never seen before. But we've got to be serious about our faith and about what is important. And my fourth R is return. You've done it. You're here today. Hey, brilliant. You have returned. I don't know whether you've done it reluctantly. I don't know whether you've come with reservations, but you have returned. And when Israel was called to return from the exile in Babylon, only a few wanted to go back. A lot of people, you know, they'd set up their own lives where they were and they didn't really necessarily want to go all the way back to Israel again. And my fear is, and I know that's the fear of other ministers as well, is that people have got used to life not coming to church and that some people may never return. For some, their faith may have grown cold. For others, they're quite content to sit and watch something online. It's quite easy, isn't it? You get up in the morning, don't even have to get dressed, get a coffee, sit down, watch a service. What could be easier? What could be better? But that's not church, is it? Church is us being together. And for some, I know that there's a genuine fear going ahead. And for those of you, as I record this on the video, for those of you not here today, perhaps catching up with this message a bit later, I want to ask, when do you plan to return? When do you plan to come back? Put a date in your diary when you plan to return, please. Because I want to see you back with God's people. I understand that there may be for people all kinds of legitimate reasons why you might feel it's not for you just now, but do plan to come back. I'm not here to judge anyone on their reasons, and I'm sure many of them are genuine, but plan to return. And my final R, I told you I'd try and be quick. My final R is run. Have some of you seen this challenge, the couch to 5K? The couch to 5K. And basically what you do is you might run 100 yards the first day and then you add a little bit more and you add a bit more until you get, my knees won't take running, but the illustration's still there. And eventually the idea is that you will be able to run 5 kilometers, or like Gary, 50 miles, but there we go. In my dreams, anyway. But spiritually, increase that training a little every day. My concern is that spiritually we have become couch potatoes. We have. And it's hard to get up and to get going again. But we must. We must. And we in the church are desperately going to need people who are going to be willing to get involved and to run with us as a church going forward. Paul says in Philippians 3 from verse 10, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. Wow, I want to suffer and understand suffering as he suffered. Being conformed to him in his death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection of the dead. That's the end goal, isn't it? Now, not that I have already obtained all this or have been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ took hold of me. Look what he did for you when he died for you. Amazing grace that saved a wretch like me. Brothers, I don't consider myself yet to have taken a hold of it. One thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize of God's heavenly calling in Christ Jesus. I hear many people who are pessimistic for the future, for themselves and for this church going forward. But I want to share with you this optimism. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past, says God. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you perceive it? Do you perceive it? And will you be a part of it? Amen.